Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm gonna swing from the chandelier. From the chandelier.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
If you're looking for thanks, don't have a kid because they never say those words. They don't say thank you. Occasionally they say I love you. They're good at hugging. They're fun to play with. But they're not going to say thank you for anything. And they're only going to complain about what they don't have. And then you try and take that, you know, vacuum plug out of their mouth and they throw a holy fucking shit fit. You give them the $1,000 toy you just bought them and they throw it off to the side and say, look, daddy, doggy, poo poo, pee pee, poo poo.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the beautiful co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us. Do you like a good hot dog? I love a good hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good hot dog, especially those ballpark hot dogs. Goddamn motherfucker. Fucking fuck. Because I know that they're probably the worst kind of hot dogs available to known to man.
Yeah.
And hot dogs aren't exactly
like at the ballpark or the ballpark brand.
No, you know, I can never seem to find the exact same tasting hot dog at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. I've tried them all. I've tried ballpark. I've tried them all. All of them. And even Nathan's Famous. And none of them taste like a ballpark hot dog at the ballpark.
Yes.
It just doesn't taste the same.
It's so good. You have to get one.
They're so good. You can't go to I can't go to a game without getting a hot dog. And now, because fuck Atlanta, and Holman and Finch Burger, the H&F Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just incredible. Listen, I know I said Culver's is the best burger that I've ever had, or that the one in Memphis and the 100-year-old fry grease. But throw in there, just for consideration, H&F Burger at Truist Field.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Juicy, melty, just as
delicious.
Artery clogging as you can get. And it's lovely. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And do you know how those burgers started? Do you know, a little side note, H&F is short for Holman and Finch, which is a restaurant here in Atlanta. Holman and Finch is a very small restaurant on Peachtree Street, you know, one of the 50 Peachtree Streets that we have, but the artery running through downtown Atlanta. They have such a small little bar and then a small little dining mm-hmm. area. They were serving like fine dining cuisine, like, you know, very avant-garde, very cutting edge, yet on the trend food, which in and of itself got a lot of accolades and attention.
Yeah, it was very good.
Very good. But at night, they would keep the bar open a little mm-hmm. bit later. And when they kept that bar open, they were finding that the patrons really wanted something to eat, but the kitchen was closed. And so patrons were like going elsewhere for food. And so the owner of the business said, you know what? Rather than go for food, you know what I'll do? I'll make 20 burgers a night, I think is what it was. Just make 20 of them. That way I'm not, you know, making too many of them. Yeah, if you need a little munchie, here you go. You know, whatever person is hungry, give mm-hmm. them a burger. Charge them $15, whatever it is. Those burgers quickly became the thing that everybody wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And for a while,
could only get them at late night.
That's it, like after mm-hmm. midnight or something like that, mm-hmm. or after 10. I don't remember what it was. But you had to be there at the prescribed time, because if you didn't get one of the 20 burgers, you were fucked. And these burgers were good enough to wait in the bar for, and I did it on a couple of occasions.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And then they expanded, and then they have H&F Burgers, like, that just do burgers. And one of the places you can find this is at Truist Park here in Atlanta. It is, they are so fucking delicious. I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how. They make homemade ketchup, little bit of mayo, mac, you know, the melty, juicy cheese that everybody wants, you know, on a smashed, like, bun. Yeah, it's delicious.
It is. It's, like, just the right amount. And I, you know, you read so many chefs that have different prescriptions, if you will, of a little bit of brisket, a little bit of chuck, a little bit of the sirloin. Like, you know, there's this whole combination that people, and I've tried it, but God, they hit it. I don't know what it is.
I think I got real close to the Culver's burger, the butter burger.
Uh-huh.
And I think I told you the secret is a ton of butter. Yeah, that's what the
that
secret is.
Sense.
A ton of butter. Then it's just butter and beef, and it's delicious. And then you put some American cheese on there, like the nastiest kind of cheese you can buy at the store. It's fucking delicious. But H&F Burgers and a hot dog. And I just can't seem to find that hot dog anywhere outside of a ballpark. Now, maybe it's that they, you know, keep the water the same for the entire season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But whatever it is amazeballs, those hot dogs. But to totally gross you out, when you look at the ingredients that are actually inside of a hot dog,
oh, yeah,
it should dissuade anyone from ever eating one again. And I think that I told you, I have read... And they make these posts like, you know, I'm a doctor and these are five things I want everyone to know. Or I'm a fireman and this is five things I want everyone to know. There's this, like, you know, thing going on Instagram and TikTok. I have seen now multiple doctors, cardiologists say, I'm a doctor. These are five things I would never eat again. And hot dog is almost exclusively at the top of the list because it's just full of fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is.
It's like the remnants.
It's the remnants of the pig.
Yeah.
And you don't even want to know. The innards and the... It's how the sausage is made.
You don't want to know how it's made.
Everything else that's not doesn't go in the sausage goes in the hot dog.
Yeah.
Right? So whenever you're looking at a sausage being made, just think of all the other stuff that they didn't put in there, and then that's a hot dog. And they've been around forever. And everybody that I know loves a good hot dog every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I'm getting to the point now where unless it's at a ballpark, you know, sometimes the hot dogs start to gross me out a little bit. I'm like, well, should I really be eating this? It's like they've mind fucked me now. I'm like, should I be eating this? Does it really taste as good as I think it does? Yes, it does. and I want that. But what I saw the other day on a news article that is like for 12 months old now, but I saw the picture in Philly. One of those trucks that carries liquids and slushy solids, you know, one of those round trucks, like a gas, looks like a gas truck, big aluminum gas truck, right? But it's actually carrying the innards of the hot dog.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know they were transported around like that.
That's how they do it. It's just one big glob of meat that then they into the fucking shell of the hot dog. I don't know. But that thing spilled over, and I am telling you what, if you want to be cleared of your hot dog hangover, this is the way to do it. Go look at this picture. It is absolutely horrifying what that stuff looks like when it's not wrapped in a hot dog sheath or whatever they call them.
Casing.
When it's sheath. Like it's a sword or a
shawl.
Dick. Yeah. When it's not in its hot dog condom, you should see what it looks like because it is not good and it does not look great. Look at me using the two fingers like Frankie. It is not good. It is not great. It is actually the opposite of whatever you think is like digestible,
well, then
palatable.
I'm just not going to look at it.
I know. Don't look at it because if you like, do you guys cook hot dogs at home?
No.
No, never.
Mm-mm.
You never buy hot dogs, never cook them at home.
Mm-mm.
You always go out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the only time I eat a hot dog is at the ballpark. Yes.
Is that the ballpark? That's all.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, good for you. Then
I've learned over the years.
Okay. See, you're doing it right. I'm not. We buy hot
now,
dogs.
Now, we don't have kids, though.
Yeah.
So,
the kids
or small
do like
kids.
The hot dogs.
Yeah. The small kids like the hot dogs.
Yeah. I mean, think about when you're a kid. Yeah. Hot dogs and a little mac and cheese. You know, your mom and dad say, yeah, it's cheese, pasta, and meat. It's got all the food groups in it.
Yeah.
My mom used to cook that shit all the time. It's one of the five dishes my mom actually could cook. I mean, my mom's a lovely lady, but I think she'll even tell you herself. She was no Chef Boyardee in the kitchen. There was like five meals that we got.
Mm-hmm.
We got hamburger helper. We got tacos. We got stew.
I love a good taco night.
I love good taco night.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good taco night. And I don't care
I need to do that tonight, maybe. It's not Tuesday, but that's okay.
Well, do taco whatever day is it. You know? Who cares?
Thursday.
Break it. Break the tradition.
Yeah.
You know, I love a good taco night too. And I don't care how hard somebody else tries to convince me, But that Olay taco seasoning is the way to go. It's all there for you. Throw it into ground beef and just go for it.
Yeah.
It tastes delicious. You know, Astrid makes her own like Olay stuff, and it's almost the Olay. Uh-huh. It's missing one thing. We can't figure it out, right? That, but just go buy those 10-cent packages and throw it in there. Tacos. So then she made. Then my mom made stew. And yep. then she had mac and cheese and hot dogs, which is not necessarily a meal. It's just two really microwavable things placed
Quick
together.
Things, yes. Yeah.
And so when I was a kid, it was like one of five things. And I didn't mind the hot dogs and the right. macaroni and cheese. For some reason, those two disparate pieces of shit foods go together lovely. Uh-huh. But now let me tell you what really got my let me tell you the most disgusting thing.
Oh.
That you're ever going to hear someone actually put in their mouth, and it was me. And I made it all the time. Are you ready? This is when
I think so.
This is when I was married, previously married. I would get ramen noodles, two or three packets. You know, I get a bunch of them, get those packets, those beef packets is the one that I like, or the Chipotle beef or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go, I'd get them, I'd cook two packets at a time. I'd then put in a ton of Mexican cheese.
Huh.
Mix it up. Right now it's all like gloppy and weird. Then yeah. I put some sour cream in it. Then I would put some hot sauce on top of that. And then I had to have something crunchy to go in there. So I'd either put some Fritos or some tortilla chips, or if I was out of Fritos and tortilla chips, I'd go ahead and put some crackers in there, like wow. saltine crackers. And I ate that probably every night for 12 years. I don't know how long I ate it for. I ate it forever.
The ramen noodles, though.
Ramen huh. noodles. So back to the pig innards. I then saw quickly after that, as I was going down my food rabbit hole, I was like, okay, how are other foods made? And then I landed on an Instagram reel that showed you how ramen noodles were made.
Ah.
And let me tell you what, it came really close to being just as disgusting as the pig innards.
Really?
And I'm not even kidding you. Those aren't noodles. I don't know what they are, but they are certainly not noodles. It is not a noodle. It is something else altogether. At least what I saw, it was like a gloppy mixture, like a weird consistency, like a gelatin almost, that then they pushed, you know, through a machine. They put some stuff in, they mixed it up, added some seasoning, and then out came the ramen noodles in the little package they had. I always assumed we were eating noodles.
That's why they're so cheap, maybe.
That is why they're so cheap. Because mm-hmm. you think about it, like, could you really make pasta for 10 cents a package? No. How many? Have you eaten a lot of ramen noodles in your life?
Yeah.
A ton of ramen noodles. Mm-hmm. Ton of ramen noodles.
Mm-hmm.
It is a staple of anyone that is under the age of 25 years old trying to make it in this world.
I wasn't eating it the way you were eating it. I was eating it with the little flavor packets.
But did you like your soupy?
No.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know people who like it soupy, you know?
Yeah, and I like it. Yeah.
And then I've been to these ramen places, you yeah. know what I'm saying? And it's fine. It's fine. It's a ramen places are fine. But like a lot of things in life, you get used to eating the worst version of that, and then you can't go back
yeah.
and all of a sudden decide that your palate is a discernible palate. It's not. I like the ramen noodles. I like the gloppy bullshit that comes out of there with sour cream, lots of cheese, hot sauce, and fucking saltines. Don't! Get
you
me
were kind
started.
Of doing in a way like a taco salad, but with ramen noodles.
That's what I thought. My ex-wife didn't think the same, but that's what I thought. She thought I was absolutely disgusting. But this would be my late night snack for a while. That's why I weighed 70 pounds more than I do right now, too. It's because I was eating it. The truth is, we do not know, most of us don't know how the sausage is made, how the food that we eat is made.
That's true.
And as I'm getting a little older, I'm getting a little bit more curious.
Mm-hmm.
It might be too late for me. Might be too late for me, kids. I might just might be dead on the inside, and I might not have anything else to give. But for you younger folks, I'm just sharing with you. Find out how the sausage is made. That is what you need to do. Because you put all this stuff in your body. It tastes delicious. It's all gravy when it's going down your gullet. But then what is it doing to the inside of you? Because it turns back into that glop once it gets into your stomach. And then what is that glop doing to you? It's getting stuck on the inside of your innards. You know, that's why a good, you know, colon blow every once in a while is good.
It's a good thing, yeah.
We should go do, you and I should go do
a colonic,
high colonic together. And then we'll record our experiences on a phone.
I'd be up for it.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah, I've never had one.
Let's do that. Let's okay. do it, and then let's broadcast the results here. We could actually be like eyewitness news reporters in each other's high colonics. We can report on what's going on.
No, I don't want you in mine.
Well, we'll put a sheet up or something. We'll get you in those stirrups and we'll put a sheet up like you're having a baby.
Great. Anything for the show.
Anything for the show.
We need content.
Yeah, we need content. I just want to see what comes out. I want to be like, I mean, not really. I hate poop. I hate it. But I just want to see what's stuck in my gullet. What's stuck in my guts, you know? Well, every once in a while, you got to clean that shit out.
It seems like it's a good idea.
So much better than a fast, which takes work and, you got to do stuff. And I think those things are terrible for you. Those fasts, I'm convinced they're terrible for you.
Yeah.
Your body is not meant to go through 30 days of just lemon juice. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it can't
agree.
Be good for you. Yeah. Cannot be good for you. And we have a friend who does this for 30 days at a time.
I don't know
how
they do it.
I don't. He's so angry, too, like by the second week.
Well, yeah, you're hangry.
Yeah, he's fucking mad. He's mad at everybody. Exactly. I don't like to be around him when he's doing his cleanses. Whenever he says he's doing his cleanses, I'm like, I'll call
talk
you in a couple weeks.
Talk to you next month.
Exactly. He does it like in February or March or something. I don't even think I've talked to him this month, and I'm not going to because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear how angry you are because you didn't eat any food. Speaking of food, did you catch the Oprah special on Ozempic?
No, I saw that was an option to watch, but I haven't watched it.
You should watch it.
I checked it.
Yeah, I caught like 30, 45 minutes of it. I thought it was a very, I want to say balanced, but it's clear that Oprah is convinced this is right for her. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard to be 100% impartial. So for those of you that don't know, Oprah bought a large share of Weight Watchers, became the brand ambassador and also the chairman of the board, I think, or had a board seat.
Right.
And she had a ton of shares, like a ton, like millions of shares of Weight Watchers. And she, like, as she tells it, was convinced that Weight Watchers was the way to go. She had been on this lifelong journey battling her weight.
It does work for some people.
It does work for some people. Mm-hmm. My mom was in Weight Watchers, and for years it worked wonders for her. But the challenge is, and as someone on this special put it, it's like you can count the calories, you can do the exercise. But one piece that's always been missing and that we now are starting to understand a little bit more clearly is that you're fighting against your physiology, which is really difficult to do because your body wants you to eat. You have to do it multiple times per day in order just to survive. Mm-hmm. And so it's really difficult to tell your physiology no. It's literally trying to overcome your own positive thoughts about, you know, counting the calories and staying in shape and all this. Your mind is geared toward making you eat more, you know, eat fattier, eat richer, eat sugarier.
Right, which has been through evolution because food used to be scarce.
Yeah. But there's a lot of different reasons and why so many people fail at weight loss is because you can do it for a period of time, but how can you really swim up that stream every single, you know, day and night for the rest of your life? And so, as Oprah puts it, this is a way to fight the physiology. This is a way to correct the physiology, the part that actually makes you want to do it. And so they talk about the good sides and the bad sides. And she actually divested of every one of her Weight Watcher shares and gave them to a charity.
Yeah.
She didn't even cash out. She just gave them to a charity and said, here you go, because if I'm going to do this special, 1 hour long or 2 hour long, however long it was, special about these medications, Wegovy and Ozempic and these, you know, diabetes medications that are now working wonders for people who want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. If I am doing this special, I do not want one bit. I don't want it to seem at all like there's a conflict of interest. And the only way to do that is to go ahead and put Weight Watchers aside, resign from the board, give the shares away, and then I could be totally impartial or seemingly totally impartial about it. And the Weight Watchers new CEO came on and said, hey, listen, we are now changing the way that we think about weight loss at Weight Watchers. Yes, you should count the calories. Yes, you should have a community of people who are trying to help you and be positive and stay strong and all that. All those things still in play. But now there's a third prong, and that third prong is physiology. We can help fight physiology. They just bought a company that is going to produce a certain type of medication.
I saw that too. And I saw that there's a whole market now too for people that are on the drugs that they're catering to. So shakes and things and whatever that you're supposed to help keep you nutritious.
Yeah.
because a lot of people could just eat pretzels all day. You know, I mean,
yeah, you just eat a couple pretzels and then feel full.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's a lot of nightmare stories about that out there about Wegovy and Ozempic and all that. And I've talked about it here on the show maybe once or twice. And I just don't know that there's enough information to feel safe about taking those medications. I mean, I personally don't feel like I would take those medications, but I do feel for people who do struggle with their weight. And you know, however you got to do it, you got to do it. That's your own journey. That's your own personal choice.
Yeah, talk to your doctor about it.
Yeah. I personally feel like it's not clear enough that, like, no one's been taking this for 30 years and been like, yeah, it's all good. I feel great. You know, when we get to that point 10 years from now, then if I need to, maybe I'll have that consideration. But I thought it was very interesting thing for Oprah to do.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
She doesn't do many shows anymore.
No.
And or at all. And so when she does a show, I feel like it carries some weight. As a kid of an Oprah mom, I feel like it carries some weight.
She does. She does carry weight.
Yeah, she does. Oh, she doesn't carry weight anymore.
Well,
she got
no. Ozempic.
That boned early in the morning. All right, we'll stop grossing you out during your breakfast or your lunch or your dinner, and we'll be back.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB, and you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
Hey, Podcast Universe. I'm super excited to be talking about an old friend of mine, Jordan Harbinger, and his podcast, The Jordan Harbinger Show. You know that Chrissy and I don't do a lot of talking about other podcasts, but The Jordan Harbinger Show definitely deserves a mention, and here's why. Imagine the serious version of The Commercial Break, where you actually learn facts from actual experts and in-depth interviews. All the crazy, interesting, weird, and philosophical stuff that we find on The Commercial Break to have fun with, Jordan takes some of those same topics and he applies a degree of serious journalism to it, and he is an excellent interviewer, maybe one of the best in the business, in my opinion. We know for a fact that a lot of people who listen to The Commercial Break also listen to The Jordan Harbinger Show. So if you haven't yet taken a listen, go search The Jordan Harbinger Podcast on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, or head over to his website, jordanharbinger.com. That's H-A-R, B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. Jordan has been a longtime supporter of the show, and many people have written in and thanked me for turning them on to Jordan Harbinger, including one of our staff members who is like a Jordan Harbinger super fan. And to quote her, Jordan Harbinger is like The Commercial Break with actual facts and a lot less laughing. We think you're going to love The Jordan Harbinger Show. So go search on Apple, wherever you find your podcasts, or get started with those starter packs at jordanharbinger.com. And we want to thank Jordan for being a supporter of The Commercial Break. Okay, let's stay on the food theme. Sriracha. Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Love it.
Does it taste different to you now than it did before?
No. I mean, no.
Do you use it like on a regular basis?
Yeah. Not every day, but
like once a week, twice a week, something,
yeah,
like,
something
that?
Like that?
Okay. You put it on your foods. You love sriracha, like the original sriracha,
Hoyoi
sriracha. Is that how you say it? Huey Foods? Huey Fong sriracha?
Yes.
Okay. This kind in this bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so
rooster sauce.
Rooster
sauce. Call it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's got a rooster on it.
I love hot sauce. This is not my favorite hot sauce, so I don't keep it around. But on occasion, if it's out there somewhere, and you know, I'll throw it on whatever if it's available. But there is such a big kerfuffle going on on the internet about rooster sauce, and the kerfuffle is this: during the pandemic, if you remember, Huey Fong had a factory somewhere near San Francisco. And that factory was causing people around them to get sick because all the burning peppers or whatever they were doing, the spices and the sauces and the smoke and the steam that came out of the factory was causing people to get irritated. And so they had a big
hubbub.
Do you remember
that.
This?
Yeah.
Okay. So the neighbors got up in arms and they changed the way they did things and, you know, settled things down. But now they have gotten into a dispute with their chili pepper distributor or provider.
Provider, yeah.
Like a big dispute to the point where they don't get the same peppers that they used to from the same farm that they used mm-hmm. to. And the farm has said, hey, listen, we would love to sell these to you if you guys would just pay this bill that you owe us, whatever that bill is, right? Yeah,
they've been in business together for a long time.
Like, I think since they came to America, if I'm understanding correct, for like 32 years or something. So they get in this dispute. Now it's in court, but the farm says, hey, we want you to do business with us. But Hui Fong says, no, we're not doing business with you based on whatever. I don't want to get into every detail about the case. Then there are people, a lot of food writers, a lot of people on the internet, Reddit, Instagram, all this other stuff. They are saying it just doesn't taste the same. It's not as spicy as it used to be. It's a more mild, kind of sweeter version of the hot sauce that we love. And we desperately want our old sriracha back. We need it.
Yeah, because the flavor is the thing for me.
The flavor, the heat. Yeah, the flavor, but then the heat, like the little tingly. It's like, if you never had sriracha, if you're not a hot sauce fan, Tabasco is heat. That is heat. It's got a little bit of flavor, a lot of heat. Sriracha is a lot of flavor, little bit of heat, right? It's not the hottest thing you've ever put in your mouth. It's pretty accessible as far as hot sauces are concerned. That's my impression of it. But if it doesn't taste the same as it always has, then I can see why people are getting upset.
Sure.
So I thought to myself, why don't I go and get some sriracha and see if it tastes the same as it did?
Okay.
So I did. I went to a local restaurant where I knew that they were serving sriracha right down the street, and I went and ordered a taco, and then I put the sriracha on, and then I also just put some sriracha on my finger and tasted it because they had the bottles right there at the table.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste the same. Huh? In my opinion, it doesn't taste the same. It's a totally different product just based on this one ingredient changing. It's a totally different product than it was before. And like... This disappoints me because while I'm not like the world's biggest rooster sauce fan, I did like the rooster sauce on occasion. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know. Maybe it's in my brain. Maybe I read about it. And so therefore, I'm not like I'm prepared for something to taste different and sweeter. That's a fucked up thing about tastes. You know, tastes and smells.
And they change, I think. Don't your tastes change?
My taste buds change all the time. Yeah. Sometimes I'm into cream and cereal, and sometimes I'm into ramen noodles with lots of cheese and sour cream. It just depends. One of those two things. I do think tastes change.
Yeah, as you get older.
When you had COVID, didn't you say that you couldn't taste anything?
Mm-hmm,
I did not experience that, but for maybe a day. Yeah. Like a day or two, I experienced that, but I didn't experience it for extended periods of time. But Astrid did, and lots of people that I know did. Have your taste...
Very strange feeling.
Have your taste changed since then?
They're back.
They're back?
Yeah, and I don't think they've really changed from what they were before.
Very interesting, Chrissy. Do you think if you went to the ballpark and had a hot dog, you would taste the anuses the same way you've always been tasting the anuses?
I think we need to go to a game.
Oh, we're going to go to a game. That's for sure. We're going to go to a Braves game. Day game.
Yes.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Businessman special.
Businessman special. We're going to sit there and sweat with all the other guys. I mean, seeing a game in the day in Atlanta is like torture.
Well, we do need to go soon because it's going to get hot.
Well, yeah. We'll go. Opening day and the first 10 games after that, perfectly lovely weather.
Yeah.
We are experiencing right now fake spring number two in Atlanta. We had fake spring number one. We talked about it. Then we had a cold snap for like 5 days. It got cold again. Like at night, there was a freeze warning. That's crazy. And now we're back into fake spring number two. We're going to have one more small cold snap.
Yep, we are.
And then we'll be into spring. We'll be into the 2 weeks a year where the weather is perfectly pleasant. And then it goes to holy fucking hot.
Yes, it does.
It goes to wipe your fucking flop sweat off on everybody else because that's what's coming. And that's just what you get when you live here in Atlanta.
That's true.
If you go to those day games, you got to be really hungry to eat one of those hot dogs. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, holy shit.
You gotta put the sunscreen on, too.
Oh, yeah, you do. And, you know, it's I guess it's part of the, you know, allure of going to a businessman special is part of the magic, sweating your balls off. I mean, get to July, and it doesn't matter what time the game is.
No,
you're fucking sweating.
That's true.
You're just miserable. I will never forget that one time when you and I were working for the Braves, I was meeting this lady, like a girl that I wanted to date there, a girl that I was dating.
Yeah.
But we hadn't been dating for long. And I came after work with my, you know, shirt on, slacks on, dress shoes on. And I never went on another date with this girl again. And I'll tell you, I know the reason why. Not that I smelled sweaty, but that I was just drenched.
Profusely sweating.
I'm nervous about the date. I'm nervous how it's going. It's 107 fucking degrees outside. You know, the first hour and a half of the game, the sun's just beating right on your fucking forehead. And it didn't matter how much beer I drank, and I drank a lot of beer. It didn't matter how much beer I drank. I could not get cool. It could not cool me down. So here I am, a drunk, hot, sweaty mess. And then I also got into a, it started to rain later on in the game, and I got into a fight with somebody in the stands. I almost got kicked out. If it wasn't for that pass I had around me. Yes, somebody put their umbrella up, right? Listen, it's raining. It's like drizzling, right? So it's raining, but they haven't called the game yet. They haven't actually right. had an intermission for the game yet. So everybody has scattered under the large, you know,
overhang,
yeah, that were available at Turner Field. But there's just a few of us that are sitting, like, you know, kind of right behind the dugout kind of thing. And there's a few of us. So you could have sat anywhere you wanted to because everybody was leaving or up in the covered area. And this jackhole that's right in front of us, him and the guy that he's with, they put up their umbrellas right in front of us.
Yeah, that's rude.
Can't see a fucking thing. The umbrellas are, like, you know, scraping against our knees and our bellies because, you know, the seats are tightly packed
yes,
in.
Yes, I know. How could you even do that?
So I say, hey, man, do me a favor. Can you move up a couple rows? And he goes, fuck you. God. And I was like, what did you say? And he goes, fuck you. And I go, it's raining. There's nobody here. Nobody cares. Can you move up a few rows? And he says, you move back a few rows, asshole. And
wow.
I was just like taken aback at how abrasive the guy was yeah. right off the bat. And so I grabbed his umbrella and I threw it. And he stood up so quick and the security was right on it. Because we're the only ones in the fucking stands. So he could see what's going on. And so two security guards come rushing. Hey, you know? And this guy's like up in my face. Fuck you, man. Fucking go get that umbrella. Put it back in my fucking hand. And I'm like, fuck Jeez. You. Take that umbrella down a few rows, you know? Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I'm representing the Braves. I have a pass. And here I am throwing umbrellas around the ballpark.
I can't imagine why didn't go back out with the girl.
She didn't. I thought I was being like chivalrous. I thought I was like, see, I'll defend our honor and our right to see the game unobstructed. But it didn't turn out like that because she never, I don't think we ever texted again, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, it was for the best.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, the rain cooled me right off. I was already drenched, but I loved it when it rained. I was like, fuck yeah. The rain. Hell yeah. And, you know, that's just what you get here in Atlanta. You get the hot, you get the rain, then you get the really cold weather that happens for like, you know, a month and a half a year. Mm-hmm. And we're in this beautiful time of year right now.
Everything's blooming. Skies are blue. So, you know, it's you want to roll the window down and yeah. drive.
Oh, and if it rains, you want to open mm-hmm. the window and let the rain. I mean,
yeah.
Secondary only to sleeping with the door open or the windows open at the beach is let it rain. Little thunder rumbling in the background. Uh-huh. Pop open the window.
Oh, yeah.
Let that rain tipple-tapple and just put you right to sleep.
It does.
Yeah, that little tipple-tapple rain.
It's good nap weather.
It's nap weather. Now, I wish I could take a nap. But even just the ability just to sit there and, like, you know, kind of zone out for a minute. Like, it was, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. It was raining. It was nice outside. You know, I opened the windows that don't have screens on them. And so my kids like to pop out, you know, and yeah. look out. You have to be careful that they don't fall out, you know, the whole nine yards. And it's raining, and the kids are just, like, three of them just lined up in this window, standing, Aww. Just staring out. And I was sitting on the bed, and I was like, fuck yeah, this is the life
this
right
is
here.
The life,
I wish
yeah.
I wish our life could be like this all the time. I wish all 15 children were staring out this window, and we were all just, you know, hanging out, listening to the rain. It was a thing that my dad did when I was a kid that I never lost. When a storm would roll through in Chicago, we had the station wagon with the pop down, right? The pop down, like the, yeah. the gate that popped down. Uh-huh. It could open or it could pop down. And so he would pop down that gate. He would put on the radio scanner to see if, you know, lightning struck and the fire trucks were going. So he'd be listening to the police scanner to see if, you know, there's yeah. action in the area or whatever. My dad's weird like that. But we would sit in the garage, legs dangling on that thing and just watch the rain for hours. It was one of my favorite things in the world. I just so loved soothing. It. It was soothing. It was calm. Now that I have children, I understand that my dad was just desperately trying to get some peace and fucking quiet. I mean, honestly. So the nice weather's here. And one of the things that we have done for the last number of years is that when the weather is nice like this, or even when it's summertime, after dinner, we'll open the front door, we'll go out and play under this covered porch that we have, or in the little dirt grass area, the weeds, whatever you call them, right? The weedy area, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then we have this big, I don't know if it's a rose bush or what it is, but it's that, it has those big pink flowers. Look at it in the corner of my house and when you leave.
Yeah, no, it's camilla.
Oh, it's camilla?
Yeah.
Okay, so camilla flowers. So we have these big camilla flowers. So now we have the baby who's just learned how to walk, right? And she's walking on her own, but she's going very slow, one-footed, you know, moving her whole body, shifting from one side to the other to walk, you know, stiff legs.
Yeah.
And so last night, dinner finishes. I go to take the trash out. Kids want to go outside. I play music. They dance under the covered roof. You know, they're doing all that. Everyone's in their pajamas. And, you know, it's like 5:15 and everyone's in their pajamas, right? And so the kids are playing and I bring the baby outside. I put her on the walkway and she's just walked. She's having the best time walking around, you know, giggling, talking to herself, the whole nine yards. She loved it. Dancing, you know, she had like a little shuffle, throwing her arms up in the air. And then some of the bigger kids are out playing in the weeds. I call the weeds, you might refer to as grass. It's weeds. And so they're playing in the weeds, but one of them kind of drifts off a little bit too far. So I go out and, you know, I'm like, hey, dude, you know, we can't go out of here. Let's go out here. And there for like, I don't know, 2-3 minutes, I'm just kind of chatting with the older kids, thinking that the baby can't get far. She doesn't even, she barely knows how to walk.
Right.
She never put her foot in grass. She's not going to be that brave and just go step in grass. It's a whole different texture, right? Well, I turn around, baby's gone. And I'm like, what? Astrid must have grabbed her, you know? I go, door's still open. Blue's sitting there. Thanks, Blue, for doing nothing.
I know. Normally, she's barking.
Yeah, normally, she's barking. Yeah, and honestly, she's so good with the kids that sometimes she'll, like, herd them in a certain way, like, especially if she thinks there's danger, she'll herd them. But anyway, not there. So I run around the front of the house, and I'm like, oh, my God. I run around the front of the house, and she is at the camilla bush, and she has got a mouthful of camilla flowers.
Oh, my God.
It's just in her mouth. Just imagine, like a big old,
oh my God,
you know, 4-inch circumference camilla flower. Just she's just got a mouthful of it. She's like, she's trying to pull it off with her teeth. And I'm like, what are you doing, kid? First of all, how did you get all the way over here? How did you walk through the dirt and rocks to get all the way over here? First of all. Second of all, why do you have a mouthful of camilla bush? What are you doing? She would not let it go, Chrissy. I pick her up. She still got it in her mouth. She's like yanking the camilla bush
she
off her thing.
It.
She loved it. She thought it was the best thing in the world. If I had known this, I wouldn't have bothered with all the expensive formula. I would just put some camilla bush in water and let her drink it up. It was crazy.
Or the millions of toys.
Oh, my God. Forget about the toys. Don't even bother. Parents, new parents, don't even bother with toys.
Yeah.
Just wait. When you have your kid, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to buy you a lot of stuff. Don't bother with toys. And here's why. I'm going to explain. You need a few things. You need like a shaker, a rattler, a little pad for them to play on, and maybe some dingly dangly things. Everything else, fucking forget about it. Because the second that you give them that toy, they get so excited, and 3 seconds later, they forgot that the toy even exists, and they are literally trying to put plugs in their mouth.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Scissors, plugs, paper clips, tacks, broken glass, dog poop, dog pee. It doesn't matter. Anything that is not a toy is the thing you play with, and everything that is a toy is the thing you cannot play with.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking incredible. I have toys in there. There's a million toys in that toy room. I have toys in there that I bought those kids, and I was so excited because I knew this is the one. This is the toy they're going to love and they're going to play with, and they have yet to touch it for more than 3 seconds yet. And then they come to me, and they're like, I'm fine. I want an amp on the iPad.
My nephews are the same way. They've just got millions of toys. And
fuck, man. Fuck. How do we get these kids to, like, you know, have a little gratitude? That's what I want. Have a little gratitude. Daddy spent a lot of money on that. He thought hard on that present. You don't like it. If you're looking for thanks, don't have a kid because they never say those words. They don't say thank you. Occasionally they say I love you. They're good at hugging. They're fun to play with, but they're not going to say thank you for anything, and they're only going to complain about what they don't have. And then you try and take that, you know, vacuum plug out of their mouth and they throw a holy fucking shit fit. You give them the $1,000 toy you just bought them and they throw it off to the side and say, "Look, Daddy, doggy poo poo, pee pee poo poo." That's what they want. They want poo. They want poo. And by the way, you're going to get plenty of that too when you have kids. Just letting you know. Listen, I don't blame some of these younger folks out there that are like, no kids for me. Nope, not having them. Yeah. I mean, we'll see as life goes on. We'll see how that goes out. But, you know, I don't blame them. I was also the same way when I was in my 20s and in my 30s and now in my 40s. I'm like, what the fuck did we do?
You're in it now.
Hey, kids, if you're listening to this many years in the future, I really do love you. It's just hard being a parent.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
What? Oh, hi, it's Christina again. Here to remind you to go to tcbpodcast.com for all things audio, video, and TCBDO. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And guess what? We have a new phone number. I know what you're thinking, but I promise this is the last TCB phone number you will ever have to remember. So call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at 212-433-3TCB. Once more for the people in the back, that's 212-433-3TCB. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's all for now. Let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
Okay, this story is going to be a little old by the time it airs, but I thought it was interesting when I saw it, and I'm circling back to it now. Lamborghini. The very famous car,
yes.
The Lamborghini, okay? Read this headline. Beautician claims she's heir to the Lamborghini fortune after collecting irrefutable DNA from her sister's drinking straw. Did you see this?
No.
Okay. Flavia Borzoni, 35 years old. Hold on one second. An Italian woman is claimed to be the Lamborghini heiress after testing her alleged sister's DNA from a drinking straw, a lawsuit revealed. Flavia Borzoni, 35 years old, claims she has irrefutable DNA evidence that she is the secret daughter of Tonio Lamborghini, 76 years old, after she tested his daughter Elettra's saliva, she claims in a lawsuit. Very interesting names going on here in this. The Naples native, Naples, Italy, said she had hired a private investigator to retrieve a drinking straw used by Elettra, who is a socialite and singer, to prove they were siblings and Borzoni was the legitimate heir to the luxury car family. The DNA sample was tested at the University of Ferrara, where experts said the genetic sample proved Borzoni and Elettra were in fact related, the court case revealed. The illegitimate heir claims Lamborghini and her mother, Rosabla Cosalimo, had met at a bus stop in 1980 while the sports car heir was driving by and offered her a lift. The two then allegedly struck up a romance, which ended with Borzoni being born in 1998. So now the Lamborghini, it's a little drama. Now Lamborghini is suing to say that it's not, you can't collect people's DNA like this. The DNA is not admissible because it was done in secret and behind everybody's back. So the private investigator waits around until the real daughter, you know, until the known daughter of Lamborghini.
The recognized.
the recognized daughter. That's correct. Drops a drinking straw in a garbage can. Then he picks it up. He collects it and he sends it for DNA testing. And that shit's scary. And then it is proven true that they are related, like blood related.
Yeah.
Okay. So, one question. Why the fuck can't this happen to me? Why am I waiting around for some, you know, $50 million Spotify contract that's never coming? Love Odyssey, by the way. Okay. $50 million Odyssey contract that obviously is never coming because God bless Odyssey. They're not going to pay us $50 million to do this stupid show. No one is. Why am I waiting around for that? When I could just be the illegitimate son of, you know, it doesn't have to be Lamborghini. It can be the, you know, fucking Pinto for all I care. If I'm the heir to the Pinto fortune, I'd be happy with that.
Is there a Pinto fortune?
Well, there used to be a Pinto fortune until the Pinto started blowing up.
Yeah, there is.
You would hit them from behind and they would explode. But Pontiac fortune or something. Something. Why? What a stroke of fucking luck.
Yeah.
What a stroke of fucking luck.
Because she must have heard, you know, I guess her mom told her.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
She said, hey, honey, this dude dicked me over. He fucking ghosted me in the 80s when there weren't even cell phones. But you were born from his sperm and you should go get yours. Get your bag. Go, dude, get your bag. He's never been a part of your life. Go get your bag. Right? And I don't blame her. because fathers should be responsible for their children just as much as mothers are.
Yes.
It's a 50-50 endeavor. That's why I fully support Kentucky allowing child support to be had from the moment of conception.
Yeah.
Because, you know, speaking of children, they're not really inexpensive. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're not really inexpensive. No. You're adding other human beings to your life that then you have to take care of in the most expensive part of their life, when you have to feed them and clothe them and send them to school and all this other bullshit. And so if you weren't a part of that for 37 years, right, and then somebody comes out of the actual daughter comes out of the woodwork and says, hey, you've never been here, so all I'm asking for is my fair share.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. That's how the cookie crumbles, Mr. Flaviato Lamborghini, or whatever your name is.
Flaviato.
But I also, Brian Green, am an heir to the Flaviato Lamborghini fortune. I've done my own DNA testing, and it came back conclusive. You are my daddy.
I think we know that your dad is really your dad.
Daddy? Daddy Flaviato? It's me, Brian. I'm just here to collect my bag. I won't bother you. $2 million. It's all good. You got a lot of money, Dad. You didn't have to change no pee-pee, no poo-poo. You didn't have to give me any gifts. You never saw me graduate kindergarten, high school, or college. All I want is $2 million, and I will go away.
I'm going to go to which fortune should we test for? Prince? Prince, is that good?
I like that one.
Prince,
I love
never
Prince.
Had any kids. He's got to have one kid out there. I mean, there's got to be one kid. It's Prince. You think that guy kept it in his pants all the time? No, of course he didn't. He had lovers. It was that Apollina or whatever her name is.
Yeah,
I mean,
Apollonia.
Yeah, she's got to have a few kids. I think that's my mom. Don't I look a little bit like Apollonian Prince?
Yeah, you do.
I do.
I mean, there's a strong resemblance.
I think there's a strong resemblance to Prince.
I like it.
This is the way, Chrissy. This is the way home. Now, my dad might claim he's my dad, but I have never been so sure that my dad is actually my dad, nor my mom, my mom. And so I am thinking that I am an heir to some fortune that I just haven't learned yet, and soon my ship is going to come in.
I hope so.
Okay, if I'm going to make this claim, you got to make a claim too. Who would you like to be your mommy and daddy? Rich. Think rich. Bezos. Bezos has to have some kids, doesn't he? There's a kid or two.
There you go. Yeah. Do they have kids? Did they have kids?
I think so. I think they have
now
two
I don't
kids.
Remember.
I don't know either. Musk has 12 children or something like that.
I just saw that McKenzie, you know, his ex-wife, gave away like 680 something million to charity. So that's what, maybe you should go down that road.
Oh yeah, I'm a charity.
Yes,
I'm definitely
exactly.
a charity.
Exactly. I think that's maybe the path you should take here.
The commercial break is the definition of charity.
Please.
Yes.
Please put together
Please
the proposal.
Put together the I'm going to put together the proposal. Dear Mrs. Former Bezos.
And send this podcast as evidence.
Two podcasters are starving to death right here in America. They desperately need your help. 680 million will do.
Just for the price of a cup of coffee a day.
Yes, for the honestly, for the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can keep me off air. I keep on making this pitch to the listeners, but I'm going to repeat it again. We want Patreon not to give you free content, but to stop doing it. I have an RSS feed that will play Conan O'Brien and Fly on the Wall back to back. No commercial break. And for the low, low price of $3.99 a month, you too can be commercial break free. Listen, Mr. Bezos, this is a charity you want to get in on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Save humanity from the commercial break. This is the kind of thing you need to get behind. I don't know what you're into, Mr. Bezos. Stern, Howard, listen, you of all people know what bad content sounds like. So please put me in your will, but your living will, like the will I get when you're alive. Because all I need is just 1% of your annual revenue, and all of us could do fine.
Flourish.
Stern's making $100 million a year. 1% of his revenue. We could flourish. We could absolutely flourish. I'm on board with this idea.
Yeah, no, I think that's the pathway we need to apply as a charity.
Keep the commercial break off the air. That is the GoFundMe we are starting. Does that go against their terms of service? I don't know. We have to check that out. I'm always hearing about people doing this and that, you know, getting in trouble about terms of service and all that. But I think you and I really have a legitimate case and cause here.
I think so.
Who the fuck really wants another episode of the commercial break? And if you're against it just like we are, then all you have to do is sign up to our Patreon or our GoFundMe. If we collect just, let's not make it too crazy. If we could collect just $612, we'll take ourselves off the air. We'll call it a wash. Scratch. I'll take
cheers
all
to 500.
Yeah, I'll take all five. Yeah. Yeah, cheers to 500. If you haven't made it by 500, here's a little piece of advice. Forget about it. Just stop. That's why most people stop after, you know, yes, five episodes, because they're like, the fuck am I doing with this? Never going to make any money at this stupid thing. Never. Not a dime. I feel...
We're rich in
spirit
yes, and love and laughter.
Well, you know, that does count for something.
It does.
Unfortunately, the mortgage company won't take it, but, you know, we'll figure it out. Yeah. Hey, listen, Flavia... You hit the lottery, essentially. And so when you get that money, if you could do us a favor and filter it down to some of us who are certainly Lamborghini's son. I'm certainly Lamborghini's son. She's certainly his daughter. We just haven't done the DNA testing that. Y'all are in Naples, Italy, and we can't afford to go to Naples, Florida, let alone Naples, Italy. No. So if you could do us a favor and just send us some money on the good faith that eventually the DNA will come in and everything will be fine, we'd certainly appreciate it.
That cow-killing bastard.
All right.
I think we hit upon it.
I think we got the perfect solution.
Yep.
And I don't know why somebody wouldn't just give us the money. I mean, I read about these people all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I raised $150 million for my company, quote unquote. I can't raise $1.50 for this fucking commercial break. I just need a break. I just need to be related to someone that has money.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. I should do that 23andMe. Yeah. Yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
I should do it. I wonder what I would find out. What revelatory information would come my way if
you
I did 23andMe. Yeah, but I get nervous about all the police forces and the CIA and everybody like being able to access those databases. I don't want to be framed for some, you know, manslaughter case down the line.
God.
That's what my brain starts thinking when I think about 23andMe. But, you know, listen, apparently a lot of people love it. So, okay, fine. Do your thing. Whatever you're going to do. Not for me. It's okay. It's fine. Everything's fine.
All right. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Cheesecake Factory. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
I saw another picture of Kanye and Bianca going to Cheesecake Factory again.
Another one?
Twice in like 2 weeks.
They like it.
That's crazy. And apparently they get a whole section blocked off. Of course they do. Unbelievable. I can't even get a table at Cheesecake Factory on a Friday night, let alone a section blocked off. Kanye. I'm Kanye's son. That's it.
That's it.
Kanye and Bianca's kid. All right. We want you to be on the show. We want you to come on the show live and talk with us. 212-433-3TCB. That's 1-212-433-3822. Text us. Let us know you want to be a part of the program. We'll get back to you. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take it all at that phone number. Also, you can leave us a voicemail if you so choose. TCBpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video, more information about the show, and get your free piggy fronting sticker. Hit the contact us button, drop down menu. I want my free sticker. Physical address. We'll send it off to you at the commercial break on Instagram, TCBpodcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. All right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I like how you did your hands.
Thanks.
Doing all day. Commercial break.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And
best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.